ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. New details are emerging about how Senate Democrats are trying to amend legislation passed in 2002 authorizing President Bush to go to war in Iraq. Senior Democratic aides say the draft resolution will call for all U.S. combat troops to be out of Iraq by March 2008 and that remaining troops be used only for counterterrorism operations and for training purposes. The White House says it will oppose the Senate attempt to change the war authority limits. The administration is accusing the Democrats of being in a state of confusion about Iraq. The U.S. ambassador in Iraq is apologizing for the detention of the son of Iraq's most powerful Shiite politician. He was reportedly held by U.S. forces at a crossing point in Iraq for nearly 12 hours after returning from a trip to Iran. Now that the UN deadline for Iran to suspend its uranium enrichment program has passed and the UN is reporting that Iran is continuing the program, a new resolution against Iran is expected. On Monday, the Undersecretary of State will go to London to meet with U.S. allies to draft a new, harsher UN resolution. Today, Iran's president said his country would not show weakness over its nuclear program. Traveling in Australia today, Vice President Dick Cheney criticized the recent Chinese anti-satellite weapons test. He says China's continued military buildup is not consistent with its self-proclaimed rise as a peaceful global power. Pakistan test-fired a new long-range missile today. Military sources there say that the missile is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead up to 1,200 miles. The jury in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial is now in its third day of deliberations. The former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney faces perjury and obstruction charges. Over the past 2 days, the 8 women and 4 men have spent 13 hours deliberating. The Pentagon has decided not to conduct an enormous weapons test originally planned for the desert near Las Vegas. Although the explosion would use non-nuclear materials, there were concerns dust filled with background radiation would be scattered throughout the area. In Sacramento, California, legislation has been introduced to bar hospitals from the practice of dumping discharged, poverty-stricken patients on skid rows. Although the media has spotlighted Los Angeles hospitals as practicing the patient dumping, homeless advocates say the practice is widespread nationally. You're listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news, coming up next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The Humane Society says some retailers are carrying fake fur trim coats that are actually made of real animal fur. They say many of the coats are from designer labels like Tommy Hilfiger and are sold at high-end retailers like Nordstrom. The fur is reportedly harvested from domesticated raccoon dogs. Most of the retailers are offering refunds to their customers. The Girl Scouts are on a health kick. The cookies they are selling this year will be free of unhealthy trans fats. The Girl Scouts have been under pressure from health-oriented consumer groups to make the change. The CDC says the peanut butter poisoning outbreak has now spread to 41 states. 329 people have been diagnosed with salmonella food poisoning after eating peanut butter marketed under the Peter Pan and Walmart Great Value brands. America's largest milk producer has announced its products will no longer contain milk from cloned cows. Dean Foods, which markets Land O'Lakes and Horizon Organic, says it's taking the action because American consumers appear unconvinced material produced by clone animals is safe. British scientists say studies prove circumcision reduces a man's chance of contracting HIV by 60%. Medical experts call the report's conclusion a major breakthrough in the battle against AIDS. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.14 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 39, the Nasdaq down 10, and the S&P 500 down 5. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Last call, last call. Last chance to get your thoughts in before the weekend hits. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is our little evening dust-up, our little three-hour opportunity to process and figure things out. And I am so glad to be with you, and so glad to have you along with me. Because I'm not kidding. It's the processing it's the ability to think things through. That makes liberal and progressive talk radio, conversation radio as it's practiced here on the Head On Radio Network, that's what makes it so special. Speechifying and preachifying are fine if you're a little numbskull conservative and you have to be led by the nose like sheep to the slaughter to every single issue for which one needs to be motivated. But that's not us. No. It's in the processing, it's in the analysis, it's in the thinking about stuff that I think this really you really shine. And toward that end, I finally got around to touching on the UNICEF report on the well-being of children in industrialized nations, in which the United States is last. And lo and behold, it makes me feel good to know that I'm pretty close to on point, and we're pretty close to on point. A piece from the Progressive Daily Beacon today, and that would be progressivedailybeacon.com, titled "War, Republicans, Evangelical Christians, Child Well-Being, and American Poverty." And it notes that more than 36 million Americans live in poverty. That's greater than 44 million citizens of the United States don't have any health insurance whatsoever. 1 in 4 American children live below the official poverty line, and children and families account for the fastest growing group in the homeless population. Oh dear, it's going to be another one of those nights, isn't it? Evenings. Let that one sink in. Children and families account for the fastest growing group in the homeless population. Kind of runs contrary to the hateful, soulless right-wing response that, well, you know, those people are homeless because they want to be. They don't like roofs. They don't like having... They like living in freezing temperatures over subway grates. My friends, it's proof of the liberty that we have in this country, that we are free to have our citizens living outside in sub-freezing weather. Jesus. 44 million American citizens, no health insurance. Well, that's the free market at work. But you see, we process, we analyze, we liberals, we progressives, we decent human beings think about things like that. The folks at Progressive Daily Beacon go on and say, America prides itself on being a Christian nation, but seems to lack Jesus-like values. In America today, there are endless streams of funding for war, for bombs, tax cuts for the super wealthy. What was that? How? Yeah, get rid of the estate tax and Walmart heirs get $32.7 billion. That's billion with a daggum B dollars. As America's children wallow near the bottom of every measure of well-being, Christians in the United States have busied themselves cheerleading war and defense spending while simultaneously fomenting gay hate. Now, I think, and I've been accused of it from time to time, and perhaps a little bit of clarity is called for in the folks at Progressive Daily Beacon's writing. It's not all Christians. There are good Christian sects in this country that have, and you know, our good friend Peter pointed it out last night. You go west, and you find real progressive Christ-like thought in the Methodist Church, but the, you know, down here in the Bible Belt, not a lot of difference between the Methodists and the Baptists. But yeah, the Southern Baptists and the freakish evangelical independents. They're more interested in war, they're more interested in slaughter, they're more interested in killing Iraqi children than they are in preserving American ones. They love little wads of tissue that are about 7 cells wide, but little babies that actually need food, not so much. It's easier to care for a fetus, or to care not for, but about a fetus, than it is to care about a real, live, honest-to-God child. Because, see, all you have to do about the fetus is say that you're pro-life and abortion's murder. But real child care is real hard work, isn't it? But I'm pleased to see that so many of us are on the same page. Progressive Daily Beacon writers note, as America's children wallow near the bottom of every measure of well-being, Christians in the United States have, as I said, busied themselves cheerleading war and defense spending and fomenting gay hate. They say often it seems like an American Christian's perfect scenario would be to force the government to bomb homosexuals. Oh! You know, it would be funny if it wasn't so daggum true. That the United States and the United Kingdom rank so poorly in the child well-being study shouldn't be a shock. It doesn't seem that either nation's government is nearly as fond of children as they are of starting and fighting wars. There's something inherently vulgar about the fact that two of the world's wealthiest and most quote-unquote Christian nations place so much value in their ability to wage war and so little stock in how they treat their poor, their hungry, and their children. True. So what do we do? With it, about it? What's the remedy? And you know, but we're only getting started this evening. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. It's not just children that are suffering in this country under the rule of the evangelicals and the Republican Party. Why do I say the evangelicals and the Republican Party? It's the same thing. Just the beginning. It's only Oh, God. There's going to be more tonight. And more of your thoughts and your comments, I hope. The phone number, as if you didn't know, some of you new to the program may not know, is 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email comes to bob@headonradio.com. We'll be back. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn.
A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face. Do you remember when we used to dance, and incidents arose from circumstance? One thing led to another, we were young, and we would scream together songs unsung.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
I just died in your arms tonight.
thanks for sticking around. It's about 20 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Friday afternoon, Friday evening. Let's go straight to the phone. Sarge joins us from Southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, what's on the plate tonight?
Oh, we got a lot on the plate tonight. First of all, let me put in a little plug. We do have King David McKenzie's first show up at unreportednews.net.
Great.
And it's on the Kennedy assassinations, which is really some interesting stuff. And next week we're going to have his show on the Pearl Harbor broadcast. So we've got some good stuff coming up there. I wanted
Indeed.
To give a report, too. I talked to someone on the Mississippi coast, and I'm not going to name the source, but I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They had a meeting last night, and at this meeting, the people were telling stories of the hardships that they're going through trying to get help, and a couple of the stories were mostly that just are unbelievable. Is how the elderly are being affected. They have been totally cast to the side. Some of them were in condos, and because they didn't own the land, but they owned part of the condo, they just lost it all. They just pulled the rug out from under them. And so these people are in dire need, dire straits, and there's nothing being done to help these people. If they rent it, oh well, pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, you know. And they're not getting the assistance they need. So we've still got a heck of a lot of problems that's just surfacing. It doesn't seem to be an end to it, Bob. No end to it.
No, and the thing is, as far as the rest of the nation is concerned, and God knows the Bush administration, if you're not looking for the problems, you don't find them. And if you don't find them, you can't. They're not real.
That's
they
right.
just don't exist.
Well, I tell you, I made a contact with a fella on the coast today, and he's a radio voice. And he and I did some talking. I'll let Agnes tell you the full story because I told her where it went, and I think it's stuff you're going to want to hear. But he is so tickled to death that people outside Mississippi are actually wanting to hear these stories, and he said to tell you and any of the Head On or Novium or whoever wants to hear the stories, that he's more than willing to talk about it because he's sick of it. The things that are going on down there, I was down there last week. I saw the horrors, and I've been on it ever since day one. I mean, I went through Katrina, all right? But even going down there and looking last week and knowing, having been in the area already, but being there again, I was still just overwhelmed by the scope of the disaster that is the Mississippi coast and what is New Orleans. Now, I did get a pretty disturbing story out of New Orleans. Some people who had been doing volunteer work down there were kicked out of New Orleans by the people. They didn't want them down there. I don't know what the story is on that. I'm checking into it, but I did get it from a credible source, and so it's kind of disturbing. I don't know what caused that, but I'm going to check into it. But it's created, these people have just created such tension between everybody. It's a class warfare, and it's not going to get better. And the thing that people better wake up to is there are diseases that have been dormant, that have been almost eradicated, that are coming back strong, and they're going to reach epidemic proportions. And when they reach epidemics, we're not talking about just on the Mississippi coast or Louisiana coast. We're talking about it's going to spread throughout this country, folks. Nobody's going to be safe from it. So if you want to ignore the problem down here, fine, but you're not going to ignore it when it comes up and it bites you in your butt, in your life, when it takes your health, your life from you, or your friend's life, or your significant other's life, then maybe you'll give a damn, huh? You know, that's my message to right wingers.
Well, I wish they would get that message. Sorry,
but it's got to stop, man. It's just like this guy. You know, I told you about Dave Martin giving me that line. Well, the church did something a while back for it, so I'm not interested. You know, that's the kind of crap.
We delivered a few canned hams, and that takes care of our obligation. We're done now.
Yeah, and the fact that that these people from Phoenix, that the people from Texas, and all the and hey, the Veterans for Peace is coming down in March. I've got the itinerary posted at unreportednews.net, and I believe Horn has it. This is what we've got to support, because this is the only way we're going to get the news out. And there is such tragic news coming out. If you can get with the Veterans for Peace and you can join their march, please do so. Because I want everybody that is willing within the sound of my voice to actually get up and do something, that can do something. I know we can't all do something. You know, we can't all do something. I'm crippled up. I can't get out and march. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to tell you guys, I'll tell you and your listeners and anybody that'll listen what's going on. Because this is how we're going to stop this crap. If you don't have to be anything special, just be yourself. Just do what you can, however limited or however vast it might be. Because that's the only way these problems are going to get solved. These legislatures, both Democrats and Republicans, like Barack Obama, don't give a damn. I've talked with his office 3 different times now, and each time I've been given the brush off. So Barack Obama's not going to do a damn thing. And I've talked to Hillary's office. They don't give a damn either. The only one I've talked to that's really picked up and done anything is Dennis Kucinich, and he is doing something. The man's keeping abreast of it, and he's asking questions. But, you know, let's don't get caught up in this, well, Hillary versus Obama crap. Let's get caught up in what are they actually going to do. Are they going to let these son of a bitches rip us off of our tax monies of the need that these people in stricken areas, not the Iraq Gulf, we're talking about the United States Gulf Coast. We got people here who the Iraqs would say, hey, I feel for you, man. Gosh, y'all got it rough.
You know,
we
talk about things like that, and I remember the question about during when Katrina was hitting and the aftermath and all the disaster. The question of where the Louisiana National Guard's amphibious vehicles were.
Yeah.
And of course, they were in the middle of the desert.
That's right. And you know, funny enough that you mentioned that, because Leonard Clark served with Mississippi and Louisiana National Guard when Katrina was coming through, and they sat there and watched the coverage of it, you know, out of the camp, and he said that it was just heartbreaking, because those young people were breaking down. They said, that's our home and we can't do a thing about it, and God, what are we doing here? And then when they did finally get home, guess what happened? They had to leave their equipment that was needed here in Iraq.
Right.
We are in the wrong Gulf. Our troops are in the wrong Gulf, folks. You know. But, Bob, I'm going to let you go. I just want to check you in. I've got more stories that I'm going to be getting out in the next few days. I'm going to be on the Cynthia Black's Action Point show on KPHX on Sunday, and I'm going to be telling more stories there because I'm going to get time to really get into some of this with her. But I hope everybody will remember this hurricane is worse today than it was the day it hit.
And only getting more so, Sarge.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you letting us get the word out. And you and I have got to talk. I've got some info for you.
All right. Take care, Sarge. Thanks a lot, and have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. 28 and a half minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break and come back to more of your phone calls, 877-443-2366, 877. The numeral 4, head on. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Just going to keep on reminding you. I hear that I don't say that enough. I can't imagine, but I guess I don't. So we will come back. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Thank you. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Thing where you're punching and turning your like on the video from 20 years ago. God, I'm old. Thanks, Agnes. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's about 25 and a half minutes before the hour, and David is calling in from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. First, some good news and then some bad.
Oh, boy.
The good news is, people, remember you were talking, we were talking about that strike in Vegas? They were going to do the 700-ton ammonium bomb?
Yeah.
They called it off. You know why? Because the people
what?
Spoke. The people True. Spoke in Vegas, and the phone numbers lit up, and they can't, it's too many people. They're not going to do it.
Can't get away with it.
Nope, they're not going to do it. So this is important for the listeners to understand. Everyone who is doubting that, understand that that little victory... If you keep up adding little victories, eventually you're going to have a humongous, gigantic victory.
Win enough battles, and eventually you win the war.
Right. And I mean, I remember the doubt that people say, well, you can't stop them. Well, you can't stop them. Like, hell you can't. The Pentagon...
Yeah, what was that, David? Divine strike? Is that what they called it?
It's not going to happen in 2007. It's not going to happen in 2008. It's not going to happen in 2009. And that's because of all the residents there were given the proper information, and it was distributed correctly. That's all it takes, people. The Pentagon is not unstoppable. That is a perception. That's all it is. It's a perception war. Break the perception. Break those mirrors, and you have that little victory like I was talking about.
Exactly. These things can be accomplished.
I know. That's important to realize. Now, on to the second thing, which is the bad news, people. The bad news is the code name for the Shock and Awe in Iran.
Tyrant.
What? Yeah,
Tyrant.
It's called Tyrant. Theater Iran Near Term. That sounds like a progressive rock band. But I think that the important thing to understand for the people is how close we are to it. It says in this article, it says it's now in the final planning stages, and they say they're planning to hit thousands of targets.
Yeah, I mean, and that was what the BBC was reporting a few nights ago as well, that this will go beyond any nuclear, so-called nuclear facilities of the Iranians, and it will extend to their entire military command and control structure, in which case that means that it's full-on war. You know, this isn't the Israelis flying across to Asarak in Iraq in 1980 and blowing up the nuclear power plant. This is full-on war against the entire military structure of the Iranian people.
I just thought of an idea. This is the divine strike thing. I would be wondering, what if, like, thousands and thousands of hackers just dialed on auto-dialers, and all it says would, don't attack Iran, to the Pentagon, to the White House, to Congress, and the Senate? What would the reaction be if they shut down the phone lines for one complete day?
David, they're going to come and Agent Fred's going to come and get you for talking like that.
Agent Fred's going to come.
Oh, you laugh. You don't have the right to habeas corpus anymore, my friend.
Yeah, that's true. People are,
but no, I mean, they stopped Divine Strike, and you know, yeah, what you're talking about here. What our friend Sam Simpson was talking about, what our buddy Phil Restino has been talking about, is stopping this. The only way you can stop a war is to not let it get started.
We
have an obligation as so-called citizens of this nation to let our elected representatives, they're not our elected leaders, they're our elected representatives, to let them know that this is intolerable under any set of circumstances. That war on Iran is not an answer to any kind of question that is validly being asked.
You know, that's true, and I think the people should just, like, put it into their heads that the battle, we may not stop them from attacking Iran, but to just totally give in and submit, it's like what if the people in the Divine Strike did that? They said, oh, we can't win this one because it's the Pentagon. I think when you think in terms of absolutes, it always is the, you know.
Absolutism will get you in trouble. For all the right-wingers,
right,
and the religion industry people who complain that, you know, that what do they call us? They call us moral relativists, David. You know, as if, you know, they don't have any grounding in what is right. They don't know right from wrong, them liberals. God, I've heard it a million times. We do have some, and war with Iran is absolutely wrong, and we must make it clear to people along those lines.
You know, one thing that might work, and this is for people who have digital video camera, which I do not, and this might work for in Sarge's case as well. If you put together videos with the story documenting the area of what you're talking about, and it'd be like a viral campaign, because I noticed a lot of the YouTube videos and a lot of these send space and send file share, you know, whatever, wrap.
Right.
Not send space, the rapid share, but you know, it's the one where you can stream. I forget what it's called. It's not YouTube, but it's something else. You can just stream it anyways. But if we put it up those types of videos and we make a viral campaign of it, I think that would have an impact on any issue we want to put across.
Well, I think you're right, and it's the people who are using those technologies who are getting their message out.
And
thus far...
Oh,
thus far, the good news, David, is that our side is doing some of that. We have to do it more.
Right, and I think the important thing for people to understand is people are still concerned about not having the major media or the branch or the umbrella of media that they want. But just like the Divine Strike thing, you only need so many people to make this happen. Now, I can't give you an exact number. That's a fool's man's game. I don't know. I don't know how many it's going to take. I know this. If you keep on the momentum of something, something builds and it builds and it builds, just like what happened in Las Vegas. And I think that a lot of people stress too much on channels that are losing their audience anyways. And I understand that people want to get on there. Well, you gotta start somewhere, like Sarge does and everyone. And I think that's definitely one way to get out, to make your own viral videos and just send them everywhere.
Very good idea. A very good idea, David.
Yeah. And
this is I've got the email that you sent me about Tyrant Theater Iran near term.
Right, right.
And the quotes that are contained in it are stunning.
Oh,
under Tyrant, Army and U.S. Central Command planners have been examining both near-term and out-year scenarios for war with Iran, including all aspects of a major combat operation, from mobilization and deployment of forces through post-war stability operations after regime change. Oh dear, oh dear, they're gonna. You know, that's gonna go. Can we take? I don't know. I mean, what are the limits of American ability? I saw one of those freeway blogger signs that said, "War with Iran? Now we'll have to shop twice as hard."
No.
You know, what can the United States tolerate, David? I mean, can we handle two insurgencies just mushrooming and ballooning and grinding up and eating American youth? Can we tolerate two of those? How about three? Because this will be three now. Iran isn't two, it's three. We keep forgetting about Afghanistan.
Right. Afghanistan is always forgotten about. And then there are the wars that are the secret wars that no one knows about.
Yeah, well, we're still in South America. We're down in Colombia. Sure we are. Absolutely.
You want to see something scary? People, go to the Blackwater website and look at the list of... operations in 10 years.
Oh, is that blackwater.com?
I think it's if you just do a Google search, like everything in life. If you just do a Google search,
just Google it.
Yeah, Blackwater Security. I think I talked about this a little bit earlier, but Blackwater is a pretty amazing company for what it's done in 10 years. They were fairly against the odds. They started on some freaking swampland. And people said, "Yeah, this company isn't going to work," and they stuck. And they had to go from trade show to trade show, and they finally built up their house of horrors. And you want to hear something even crazier? Eric Prince, the guy who runs the company, I have a great article for you, Bob. It's like a 8 or 9 page article on the Hampton Roads. It doesn't talk about like the partisanship, like Blackwater's bad and all of this, and it gives you this like a. Summary and gossip. What it does is just basically explains the company in business terms, what they do and how they reason with themselves and the criticism and all of that. But anyways, Eric Prince is now the son-in-law to I believe Dick DeVos's daughter, and Dick DeVos is the guy who runs Amway.
We get Amway now.
Amway is you know what? People should not front on Amway. Amway is one of the most powerful companies, and they've contributed heavily to the GOP.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. And you know what a deliriously successful hustle that is.
And I think people have to understand the danger that the Blackwater that we face. Eric Prince is a see, this is another thing nobody talks about. We talk about the soldiers, right, Bob? We love to talk about the soldiers and the mercenaries and the people, but you know what? They're just trying to get a paycheck, and they're just trying to get it any way they can. And these people are opening the door for them. No matter how horrifying that is, Bob, that's a door that they're like, oh, I could make money. I can finally find a way out to get the American dream. They don't know what they're getting into, though. But the guy who is the mastermind behind Blackwater, his dad was a car salesman. I think so. Yeah, the car salesman in Detroit. It gets better. His name is Eric Prince. There's like only a few photos of him. There's a reason for that. The less photos you have of somebody operating something, the less publicity and press behind your name, you're not going to be that focused. A lot of people in business understand that. A lot of people today growing up don't understand that, but that's what Eric Prince understands. But anyways, Eric Prince is an ultra-Christian conservative, okay? Now we're talking crazy here.
Yeah.
Now we're talking crazy. Okay, so when you read the article, I believe I was talking about this beforehand, but when you read the article, you find out that Blackwater isn't like any other company. You go through the office, and there are guns laying around. Guns are just laying around on the office, and the ammo belts are on the table. The wetsuits are on the table. It's like a pseudo-fantasy for ex-Navy SEALs and ex-Marines, whatever you want to do it. It costs people, get this. This is how crazy Blackwater is. People will go to that company, Bob, and you have to pay $20,000. Imagine this. You have to pay $20,000 to get in just to audition. Just to audition for the damn company. They put you in a training camp, and they say, look, a lot of you aren't going to make it. You're probably going to lose your savings, whatever you want to do, your family, because you wanted to come out and try to be a Blackwater soldier. They just put them through that. And they're like, and a lot of people in the article, they were like, well, I know I couldn't make it, but I just had to try it. I mean, they'll leave their wife. It's crazy.
I've gone to the Blackwater site, and I'm looking around a little bit, David. This is obscene.
Telling you. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. I don't think people understand that Blackwater is 10 years in the running, okay? Now, here's what's different from a different security contract company. When you get some of that muscle behind you, see, people think, oh, those security companies must have just raved up after 9/11. That's not true. Blackwater became a powerful force, and people started hitting the phones when the USS Cole was bombed. That's when it happened, people. When the USS Cole was bombed, then people were like, oh, my God, thank God. It was like manna from heaven for them when that happened. And the important thing to understand about Blackwater is it's no longer going to be an invisible company. You're going to start seeing promotions in your town where you see paratroopers. People can think,
David, they're selling underwear on their site.
Exactly.
I'm not kidding.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Blackwater boxer brief, tight fit, in white, in black. Oh my God!
Okay, but here's
Blackwater underwear.
They do paratrooper. Now I don't know who. Eric always wanted to be undercover and a stealth with his company, but he isn't anymore because they do shows now. I'm not kidding you. They have paratroopers come out the plane, and on the parachute is this huge paw. This huge bear paw.
Yeah, the bear paw, sure. Like their logo.
Paw. Now, the problem with this is this is going to make you sick, people, but this is the honest-to-God truth. Kids come out there, and they immediately start gearing the kids to go to Blackwater. Families. It's a family thing. Everybody, let's go see Blackwater parachute.
Mercenaries as entertainment in the incredibly... Oh, my God.
It's like a reverse pseudo Red Dawn, isn't it?
Well, that's the attitude that they're trying to capture. That's the attitude that they're trying to create. This idea of Fortress America. Sure.
The Russians aren't invading. It's Blackwater country that's invading. And here, it is like a cult, Bob. It is a cult, and there is a thing important to understand. So it's like, okay, so what is the motivation? Okay, where is the If people understood that how Blackwater's been able to basically weave their way out of all the legal the legal little clauses and loopholes. It's amazing. It's amazing that they've gotten this far, and they've obviously had to tread like 1 or 2 years in the trenches and in hell to get to, surprisingly enough, hell. I don't understand.
I'm blown away by what I'm seeing here. I'm so glad you mentioned this to me.
Right.
This is amazing.
I think it's important for people. This is important. I want people to understand that. You know, when you call somebody a mercenary or a killer, understand that a lot of the security that Blackwater does is, you know, it's not that. And they're doing that because they're trying to get a living, and this is the best way they know how. The real culprit to me, the one that's complicit, is not the soldiers. The real culprit to me is the guy who started the operation, who's Eric Prince.
Well, and it's the people who enable them, David.
The people who enable them. The PR companies, all of this, and they try to...
Well, with Blackwater, we have to understand, David, that the reason for it is that, like everything else, and you know, it's kind of mind-boggling for people to contemplate it, at least it is for me. The assumption behind all these neocons is that that government should do nothing. And of course, there are rules, there are regulations, and there are laws that control true military activity. On the other hand, if you've got a private army of mercenaries, no laws, no rules, except that they bow to the will of whoever is signing their check. You know, it's from the historical standpoint, it is a direct throwback to the mercenary armies of the Hessians, and even further back to the mercenaries that were brought into the Roman legions.
And you know, the thing about Blackwater that people don't understand, and they should. We only heard like a little paragraph of them. Maybe Air America and other radio stations have done like a little thing, like maybe a little two-sentence blurb. But the thing that's important to understand is, when Katrina happened, guess who was there? Yeah, that's
Blackwater.
Right, Blackwater. But here's the funny thing. Isn't it funny and it's surprising how FEMA wasn't on the scene that much?
Yeah, FEMA couldn't get there, but Blackwater could.
Yeah, FEMA couldn't get there, but Blackwater could. And when you read the article, which I'm going to send to you and you can pass it around, I just found it somewhere, it talks about... Blackwater was there to help the people that needed it most, and he said they were pulling out old grandfathers. And I mean, it was just an obvious PR campaign.
Well, you know, Blackwater had to be down there so that the Illinois conservation officers and a couple of Louisiana state troopers could go rescue some embryos. Remember that?
Yeah, and you know, the problem is that I don't think people understand that if martial law happens. This is their military regime right here.
Yeah, this is where it begins. This is cause for concern.
I know it's cause for concern. And again, I mean, media doesn't want to talk about it. Nobody talks about. Nobody dares. Nobody knows who Eric Prince is. And you read these and you read their ideas and their thoughts and what they want to do for security. Doesn't even make sense after a while. You want to create havoc and hell in area, and then if you go into more details about what they're about, you know, they like to jump in situations, and a lot of people aren't trained in that aspect. You know, there was I think it was in Iraq for sale, or a woman recently testified that her son, how he died. In Blackwater Security,
yeah,
he kept telling the unit. He said, "I'm not going to go in there. That's crazy." He goes, "I'm going to wait." He goes, "You can't wait. You work for us." And see, that's how they are. They will put you in a situation of peril to make that bottom line, even if you have that gut feeling in your stomach. You're like, you know, I just don't think that road right there. That's a good road to go.
I think about that scene from Oliver Stone's Platoon where John C. McGinley looks at Tom Berenger and says, "I got a bad feeling about this one. I don't want to go."
Right. And there
how many, you know, how many times does that happen every day over there? And I'll be honest, it's hard to feel any sympathy for these mercenaries from my standpoint.
Oh,
I know they're just working stiffs. I know they just want the job. But you know what? Somewhere along the way, you got to realize that the job that Blackwater does not do good things.
And I think what it is you know, there's a lot of cover-up jobs, like where they'll do security in a bank or something, and nothing will happen. I mean, they'll show those stills. But they won't show the stills where they're soldiers of fortune. Nothing will get reported. If they gun down a civilian, that's not going to get reported. It's just going to be,
Well, once in a while, it'll sneak out onto the Internet. You know, you can watch the video, like the one that's out there, David, of them cruising down the road and just shooting other cars for the fun of it.
If Henry Waxman and the other Democrats do their job when it comes to private security, we can get the drop on these guys. But it's going to take some time. But Blackwater has such a history now. See, that's the great thing about this. That's the one silver lining in all of Blackwater. It's visible now. It's not a burgeoning company. It's not a rising company. It's there right in front of you. All the players are right there. You can connect all the dots and say, aha, corruption, corruption, corruption. And that's what we need to do, Bob, on that.
Well, I tend to agree. David, thank you very much. I hear you beeping. I think your battery's dying.
Am I beeping? I haven't heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been beeping.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you later, David.
All right, Bob, later.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
And if you want to get involved in the conversation, I encourage you to do so. You know, we're the home of the First Amendment. And the way you reach the program, of course, is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or you can email bob@headonradio.com. We will be back after the news. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
is the Quality News Network. In Washington today, Senate Democrats challenged President Bush's war policies again. They're drafting a proposal to rewrite the 2002 resolution that authorized the war in Iraq. The draft resolution will call for all U.S. combat troops to be out of Iraq by March 2008. It'll also restrict the remaining troops to counterterrorism operations and training duties. Well, the White House says it will oppose the Senate attempt to change the president's war authority limits. The administration is even accusing the Democrats of being in a state of confusion about Iraq. The U.S. ambassador in Iraq is apologizing for the detention of the son of Iraq's most powerful Shiite politician. He was reportedly held up by U.S. forces at a crossing point for nearly 12 hours after returning from a trip to Iran. Iran's president today said his country would not show weakness over its nuclear program. Iran has already ignored a UN-imposed deadline earlier this week to stop its uranium enrichment program. On Monday, the Undersecretary of State will go to London to meet with U.S. allies. They'll draft a new, harsher UN resolution. North Korea today asked the chief UN atomic inspector to visit the country. It's the first such move since North Korea expelled inspectors 4 years ago and dropped out of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Traveling in Australia today, Vice President Dick Cheney criticized the recent Chinese anti-satellite weapons test. He says China's continued military buildup is not consistent with its self-proclaimed rise as a peaceful global power. Pakistan test fired a new long-range missile today. Military sources there say that the missile is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead up to 1,200 miles. The jury in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial is now in its third day of deliberations. The former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney faces perjury and obstruction charges. The Pentagon has decided not to conduct an enormous weapons test originally planned for the desert near Las Vegas. Although the explosion would use non-nuclear materials, there were concerns that dust filled with background radiation would be scattered throughout the area. A strong storm system is expected across wide areas of the Midwest today. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News next.
Hulhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The Humane Society says some retailers are carrying fake fur-trimmed coats that are actually made of real animal fur. They say many of the coats are from designer labels like Tommy Hilfiger, and they're sold at high-end retailers like Nordstrom. The fur is reportedly actually from domesticated raccoon dogs. Most of the retailers are offering refunds to their customers. The Girl Scouts are on a health kick. The cookies they are selling this year will be free of unhealthy trans fats. The Girl Scouts have been under pressure from health-oriented consumer groups to make that change. The CDC says people in 41 states have now gotten sick from salmonella-contaminated peanut butter. 329 people have been diagnosed with food poisoning after eating Peter Pan and Walmart Great Value brands peanut butter. And today, the Phoenix Airport became the first in the U.S. to use a new X-ray technology that's stirring up controversy. The high-resolution images created by what's called backscatter technology shows the body contours in such detail that critics are calling it too invasive. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 39 points at 12,647. The NASDAQ was down 10 points at 2515. And the S&P was down 5 points at 1451. There's more news, of course, at our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, I'll have a peanut butter and banana sandwich with a side of salmonella. You know, mistakes happen. Sure they do. But I think it was Michael Pollan, author of The Botany of Desire and The Omnivore's Dilemma, and a friend of this program and a guy who's been on the show, who pointed out that we seem to be having more and more and more of these toxic food outbreaks, and you got to wonder why that is. Why? Well, this is ConAgra. And I didn't know that they make Walmart's peanut butter. So when you buy Walmart peanut butter, you're buying Peter Pan. You know, I think I'm just going to get one of those little salt and peanut butter machines and make my dadgum own. Dad really tickled the kids to death once upon a time. He got some of that all-natural, nothing but peanut, salt, and oil. I think Smucker's made it. And into that, he mixed some wheat germ. And the kids just loved it. Toxic peanut butter, though. You know, and animal fur in the peanut butter, and the fake fur coats are made out of salmonella. It gets confusing after a while. Peanut butter, all you got to do is grind peanuts, and you get peanut butter. Unless, of course, you have to dummy it up and gin it up and garbage it up with trans fats and hydrolyzed this and partially hydrogenated that. Anybody got any idea how we talked about the budget some last night? Wonder what happens to the FDA food inspector budget in this latest Bush budget. Because you know if it doesn't have a gun attached to it, it doesn't get increased. With these the sickos. You know, so much of this stuff just runs contrary to our notion that we are the greatest country on the planet. We can't even keep the national peanut butter supply safe. And that wasn't a terrorist that did that. That's just crappy food handling practices. And the use of the word crappy is probably literal, although I can't be for sure. E. coli? You know where E. coli comes from. And, of course, we had the PETA undercover video of the West Virginia poultry facility that showed the poultry workers there who have no union protection, who have no job protection, who are merely at-will employees and are forced to work at breakneck speeds and unsafe conditions. And they were stomping chickens and throwing chickens against the wall. And these were chickens that were going to wind up in a bucket with Harlan Sanders stylized face on it. Finger licking good. And the sad thing is, if you want to get away from some of this and you want to, try to eat stuff that hasn't been pesticided all the hell, and you want to eat food that hasn't been just buried in petrochemical fertilizers, well, that's something that's not available to the vast majority of America, not only because of a supply and demand issue, but because of cost. Our milk supply is full of bovine growth hormone. Everything's had pesticide sprayed on it. It is a guarantee that when you bring that chicken from the grocery store home, it is swimming in E. coli.
And E. coli, of course, comes from contact with fecal material. Yum, yum. And this is, you know, this is the outgrowth of a political philosophy. Again, that says government can't do anything right. These are the same people who say to massive polluters that we don't need a regulatory scheme. We don't need the government involved. Government regulation is bad for business. How much is it costing ConAgra to deal with this recall? How much of it will be passed on to you, the taxpayer? Because I'm sure there's a tax loophole in there somewhere where ConAgra gets to say, you know, we don't pay. But you see, sometimes regulatory schemes are better than even business will admit. Is it possible with a more robust, vigorous food inspection system in place? Is it possible that things like E. coli laden hamburgers and salmonella infested peanut butter and rotten spinach doesn't get to market? Is that possible? The statistics are contained in Michael Pollan's book, and I can't remember what they are offhand, but it is ridiculous. The number of food items that go out for purchase that have no inspection to them whatsoever. And there are less, you know, that FDA stamp that you see, like, you know, purple ink on the fat side of a piece of beef. That's coming to be almost meaningless. But of course, that's a good thing. Because remember, Grover Norquist wants to drown government in a bathtub. And he is, of course, still highly influential, and he is listened to at every turn by people who have decided that all taxation is bad. God, they've been so successful at that. I was talking to my good friend yesterday, who works down here at the public library. He was talking about the part-timers' hours getting cut. And it just sort of made me, I just stopped in my tracks and listened to what he was saying. And I realized that this region, and in large part this country, is apparently controlled by people who view government not as human beings, but as some sort of evil thing. We live in a time and a place where spending massive amounts of money on private security contractors is more important than librarians. Now, maybe I'm just crazy, but I think the librarians are more important, because you know what? If you foster learning and you foster reading and you foster knowledge and you foster analysis, you will eventually get to the point where you've got a population that is sharp enough to figure out ways not to need the security contractors. Oh dear, I guess I've just gone over the edge, and I'm all Pollyanna'd up, and you know, Bob, you're just not, that's just not realistic. We'll always have to have a military. I understand. But the question is of what character and what quality and what size military. And we're moving toward a perpetual military state. A military dictatorship in all but name, and in a couple of generations probably in name as well. And all of this, and you know, government is people. It's your neighbors.
It's folks who work down at, you know, down in the mayor's office or down at the street department. And those are the people who get hurt by the Grover Norquists of this world who declare that all taxation is wrong. You know, they've had their day in the sun. They've had 7 years to prove the rightness of their position, and they have failed. I was just sort of fantasizing a little bit the other day about putting together a trip for Agnes and me and the kids. And so I started looking at airfares. And I don't fly that much, so maybe it came as a bit of a surprise to me. But by all appearances, it looks to me like the airline situation in this country is hopelessly screwed up. I mean, you think geographically, okay, and like I said, this was just fantasy stuff. I was thinking, you know, take Agnes to the beach. So I thought, Cancun, because we can go see some Mayan pyramids while we're at it. So I thought, nah, I got a sister in Mobile, Alabama. So we'll visit Sis, and then we'll fly to Cancun from Mobile, because it's an international airport on the Gulf of Mexico that is aimed directly at the Yucatan Peninsula. So, you know, off to one of those little travel sites I went, and I typed in where I wanted to fly from and where I wanted to fly to, and lo and behold, I had to fly. They had me flying from Mobile to Memphis, Mobile to Chicago, and Mobile to Houston to then fly to Cancun. Because we deregulated the airlines under Ronnie Reagan. And then I tried some other places, and it's amazing where you can't fly to in the United States. Now, you can go New York to L.A., but if you want to go, say, Nashville to Des Moines, start walking. And all of this comes to us here in the sixth year of the 21st century of the common era. This all comes to us because our country has been in the thrall of people who think that it's bad to have government. You know, it's one of those things where it makes you shake your head and you hear the marbles rattle. Our airline infrastructure has become one great big manifestation of the old line about the post office in Brooklyn. You can't get there from here. Because Grover Norquist and his Citizens for Tax Justice and the Republican Party and the Libertarians and the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the American Enterprise Institute and the Institute for blah, 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 these multi-billion-dollar think tank superstructures have conned the American people into thinking that government is nothing worth having, that government isn't, by God, of the people, by the people, and for the people. That it's something inimical to the people. I don't know where it all starts. Does it come from our decision back again at the beginning of the Reagan administration to quit teaching civics? David, a little bit ago, talking about the fact that, yes, we can make changes. Yes, we can stop evil things from happening. In particular, in that instance, Divine Strake out near Las Vegas in Nevada. Good can come of citizen participation in government. Government itself can be good. It can be responsive. It can be a force for positive growth in people's lives. That's what makes me so absolutely certain
that all these right wingers and all these Norquists and the AEI and CEI and all the Heritage Foundation and the Institute for this, that, and the other thing are, and there's no other way to say it, un-American. Because their goal is to stop America from being what America can be, and that is a free and open society in which the people govern themselves. And it's so sad that we may let these monsters have their way. To a large extent, we already have. How long will it take, assuming that there is the will to do so, how long will it take to roll back all the nasty, evil crap that the Republicans and their conservative, so-called conservative allies have done to this country? Last night we had the February 19th editorial from the New York Times talking about the fact that nobody quite noticed, you know, the people that we elected and sent to Congress to notice. Or maybe they did notice, and being Republicans, because this was back during the Republican majority in the House and the Senate, that maybe they did notice and frankly were glad and, you know. But the New York Times crying out that no one's noticed that George Bush has been given, and any president after him, has been given manifest power to declare martial law at the bare stroke of a pen. And that, of course, is the rock-bottom end of any notion of freedom in this country. You know, that's why I want this idea of conversation radio to succeed, because I would like to have conversations with people who hate this idea of self-governance, and I'd like to understand why they hate it. Is it and you tell me, what is the motivation for despising our government, our form of government? Is it greed? Is it just overarching evil meanness? Is it some religious motivation? After all, the concept of democracy is utterly alien to anything that's in the Bible. Is that where it comes from? I've got a line here I want to share with you. It comes from some litigation going on. Oh, that's not going to work. Small print. God, I'm getting old. Litigation going on in the state of Texas and TXU Corporation. They want to build 10, 11, 12, God knows how many, old-fashioned, high-pollution, coal-fired power plants in Texas so they can take coal that comes from the oldest mountain range in the world, whose peaks are being flattened, the Appalachians. And take coal from vast, giant, hellish pits in Montana and Wyoming and burn it. And you know, because these are old-fashioned uber polluter power plants, fill the Texas skies with, among other things, mercury. Yum, yum. So in the litigation, which committed... Texans have initiated to try to stop the permitting process for these god-awful plants. The lawyer for TXU Corp, is arguing that global warming is none of his concern and none of the concern for the courts. And I want you to hear his words. I mean, I'm not making this up. The TXU lawyer is a dirtbag named John Riley.
And he's getting probably $400 or $500 an hour to say this kind of thing. It's for kings and presidents and world leaders to decide how to address global warming. It's not for air permit hearings. What can we do to forestall global warming? The scientists still quarrel over it, but it's a very big issue. For instance, India is going to build 300 of these plants over the next 10 years, and China 500. My point is, 10 plants is not the significant contributor to the problem that opposing counsel is trying to make it into. And that just makes my head spin. I don't know about you, but it just... It's for kings and presidents and world leaders to decide how to address global warming. Well, there goes that old silly notion of personal sovereignty, doesn't it? Are you a king? Are you a president? Are you a world leader? Well, screw you! You've got nothing to say about the destruction of the planet. The only home we have. That's for kings and presidents and world leaders, according to Counselor Riley. Dirtbag. But that's the attitude. It's self-governance that these people hate. These anti-Americans, these Republicans, these conservatives. Of the people, by the people, you know, so that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. That was how Abraham Lincoln described the sacrifice of the fallen at Gettysburg. So that it shall not perish from the earth. Because, you see, in 1863, November, when the speech was given, was that it? November of 1863? There just weren't a whole hell of a lot of governments of the people, by the people, and for the people on the earth. Switzerland? Us? Not much else. And Lincoln recognized that the idea of self-governance deserved to continue to exist and grow and prove that the everyday working citizen was capable of ruling his own world without the edict of some damned monarch hanging over his head or hers. Mr. Riley says that, you know, don't buy. You were going to get a hybrid automobile. Don't worry about global warming. That's for kings and presidents and world leaders. It is damn sure not for the people of the state of Texas to determine whether they want mercury-laden rain falling back to the ground, whether they want their babies poisoned. Nope, that's for kings and presidents and world leaders. These are the people, these Republicans, these conservatives, these lowlifes, these greed-infested, religiously twisted monsters. These are the people who are trying to take away everything that you and I hold dear. And they'll do it under the guise of, it's your money, and you need a tax break. And every time you think about it, I don't know about you, I'll speak for myself, every time I think about it, it makes my blood boil. Because I think about all the sacrifices that have been made
so that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. What do you think? Let me know. Phone number is 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. It matters what you think. Let me know. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
This tired city was somebody's dream. A billboard horizon as black as it seemed. A forever highway across the land. We're building a home for the family of man.
Everybody sings.
The devil's the pain. Moving the mountain that's got him.
I'm Bob Kincaid. We're halfway through tonight's, last chance for the week, man. If the bee's under your bonnet or the burr's under your saddle, you better do something about it quick. You got about an hour and a half to deal with it. And then it's like having tape across your mouth till Monday. You look like one of those little abortion protesters with the tape on their mouth. It's just silly. Let's go to the phones. Peter calls in from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. A little while ago, you were talking about self-governing, and reminded me of something we were playing with in the chat room earlier. We're talking about how conservatives are like a computer virus, and you, when you start talking about self-governing your rant prior to this break, which is wonderful. It made me think, like, if the people are sort of like the operating system, you know, and truly the conservatives are exactly like a computer virus in every way. They misrepresent themselves into the operating system, which is us, and then embed themselves, and they start issuing commands that are destructive to the operating system and spying and slowing the system down. And they even have worms. They send out these ridiculous emails criticizing Obama, you know, with all that I've actually seen one or two of them that were forwarded to me, you know, and those are like worms. They go from one computer to the next computer, or person to the next person, and affect them with that idea, so that they all start repeating it to other people. And they're just like worms and viruses and spyware. They're horrible. Help, Bob, stop them. Do something, darn it.
Yeah, well, you know, where's the Norton antivirus? That's what we're trying to find out. Can we clean the system up?
We really, truly, when a computer gets this bad, I wipe it and reload it. I mean, do we have to do that with America? I mean, do we have to just start over? I mean, truly, the system is
bad. That's the million-dollar question, Peter, and I asked it sincerely. How long would it take? Is it possible for us to clean up the mess they've made, or are we just perma-screwed?
I think we may be well on the way to perma-screwed. You know, when it comes to the computers, I always think in terms of, well, all right, it may take 5 days to figure out what the hell is going on, or I could just wipe it and reload it in a day. So I think, you know, but you just can't do that with America. We truly are.
Well, you know, you talk about there's even worms in them, and it reminded me of something I got from our good buddy Cossack from the chat room. This is the kind of thing that goes around. And you know, little conservatives and Republicans sit in their little work cubicles like the little ants that they are, and they go, that's so true. Koss sent this along, says, are you a Democrat, Republican, or a Southerner? Here's a little test that'll help you decide. The answer can be found by posing the following question. You're walking down a deserted street with your wife and two small children. Suddenly, an Islamic terrorist with a huge knife comes around the corner, locks eyes with you, screams obscenities, praises Allah, raises the knife, and charges at you. You're carrying a Glock 40 caliber. Not me. I'm a 45 caliber guy. And you're an expert shot. You have mere seconds before he reaches you and your family. What do you do? Okay, this is the part that tickles the conservatives. You know, it's sort of self-congratulatory, Peter. The Democrats answer, well, that's not enough information to answer the question. Does the man look poor or oppressed? Have I ever done anything to him that would inspire him to attack? Could we run away? What does my wife think? What about the kids? What does the law say about this situation? Why am I carrying a loaded gun anyway? And what kind of message does this send to society and to my children? Does he definitely want to kill me, or would he be content just to wound me? Should I call 911? Why is this street so deserted? We need to raise taxes, have paint and weed day, and make this happier, healthier street that would discourage such behavior.
And people believe Republic. That because that's what they are taught that we're like on the conservative shows, and they, you know, we're supposed to be like that little wimp.
Right,
guy.
And the Republican answer, Peter, is bang.
Oh yeah, right, yeah.
And the Southerner's answer is bang, 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 click.
Which makes us the best damn conservatives there are, right? So that you get, what do you got in there? You've got Southern
right,
pride.
But
You've got conservative firmness and stability and stand upmanship, and then you've got the liberal wimp that, you know, very clearly says it. Disgusting.
Yeah, but they don't understand how this reflects on them. Their answer is bang.
And I would submit to you that Iraq is the bang in that fun little email.
There you go. Yeah, that makes
you know, no thought, no analysis, just, you know, give me a reason to go shoot him.
Right.
Any reason will do, but you're absolutely right. And they are. They're killing this country.
They are. They are.
You know, if you drive across country, just on the interstate system, you can see how things are falling apart.
Yeah.
And God knows if you were to try to fly from Tallahassee to Lawrence, Kansas, you'd have a how many stops would there be in that? You'd probably have to fly to Detroit.
Yeah, at least.
You know, there's no viable rail system for most of this country.
No, no, and the bridges are falling apart. Who are the engineers that the transportation folks are all upset about the state of the highways. So what are we going to do? We're going to sell them to foreign governments.
Yeah, because they'll do it better.
Right. So, you know, it'll be cheaper to sell it off and kill the Iraqis. It's getting very tiresome. But that's not really, really the reason I called. The really, really, really reason I called. And this is, I don't have a lot here, but I'm still upset about this damn Bush library. I just wanted to tell you this. This ultra-conservative think tank that they want to embed with the library. Now, you need to just hang on to your hat here. This conservative think tank is called the Institute for Democracy. Oh, my God. I could have died when I read that. Can you believe the gall to actually call it that? And you know, and Lord have mercy, and you know, this, what they're going to basically do is, you've got, you know, they're already guilty of paying journalists to write positive stories about the war in Iraq and about administration policies. And this, you know, they've been busted over and over for false news and paying. So what they're going to do is, they're going to pay a whole bunch of conservative scholars and give them a bunch of money to write books that are favorable to the president, you know, to his policies and all that sort of thing. That's all they're going to do. It's nothing but a huge spin machine.
It's utterly self-congratulatory.
Absolutely. And on top of that, do you remember, it's been a year ago, that I called up and I was raging about the Institute on Religion and Democracy?
Yes.
Right. And to briefly explain that, the IRD, the Institute of Religion and Democracy, is a well-funded conservative think tank that is not affiliated with religion in any way. It's funded by, like, the Mellon Foundation.
Richard Mellon Scaife.
Yeah, those guys, and there's a whole list of huge moneyed people that are involved. And their function is to, well, they've already taken over the Baptist Church. Their function is to focus and guide religion so that it helps the government. In other words, their influence in the church is not to promote what Jesus said or anything to do with Christianity, and they're effective and it works. Look what has happened to the church. You know, they're hot on the heels of the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church is the second largest Protestant denomination behind the Baptist, and they've already got the Baptist. But anyway, their Institute of Religion and Democracy is weighing in on this Bush Library thing, and they're all upset that it's a double standard. And you need to have it there because you just can't have double standards like that, and it's not Christ-like to have the, you know what I'm saying? You know, all of the big money is all it is a sales job.
Well, you know, that's exactly, and this is, you know, why should we be surprised that they would call it the George W. Bush Institute for Democracy? Because, you know, after all, these are the people who, you know, create regulations that allow more mercury to get pumped into the air and call that a clean skies initiative, and cutting down trees and burning down forests is the healthy forest initiative. So yeah, the think tank dedicated to a guy who has worked harder than anybody else to bring fascism to the North American continent is necessarily going to have to be called
the Institute for Democracy.
Exactly, and it's the opposite world. And it's just like the damn viruses. Have you ever been to websites and you'll get this pop-up that says, your computer is infected with a virus. Click here to clean it up. And, you know, and if you click on it...
I did that once.
Right, yeah, and you install everything evil that was ever written, you know. It's opposite world. Hard to take. They're scum. Absolute scum. And, I don't know, it's
well,
a classic struggle of good versus evil and rich versus the poor. But it's
and
not.
You know, that's what makes this media circus that's being created about, say, Hillary and Barack Obama.
Oh,
that's what makes it so nefarious and so perfidious and so damn dangerous, Peter, because there are real issues out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what David Geffen thinks of Hillary Clinton now is not one of those real issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's the media drumming up this thing about all these people are doing is announcing that they're going to run. They're not, you know, actually running in any sense. It's the media who's drumming this all up.
Oh, for God's sakes, what was it, 3 weeks ago that I just sat there and stared, you know, it's kind of like watching a slow-moving train wreck, as CNN devoted 15, 20 minutes to Barack Obama. He's a smoker. Can he be elected president? Can a smoker be president of the United States? Bad smoker, bad.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I've noticed, this. I'm down here all by myself, and I find myself talking to myself a little bit. And
yeah,
I've noticed that the dad's old television's got a little bit of. It looks like the screen's going bad. It's got some purple creeping across from the left side of the screen. And I'm thinking I may get my Elvis gun moment yet.
Oh, goody! Yeah, it's a lost cause anyway. Oh, that's not bad, Bob. Yeah, you could really get out a lot of frustrations that way. Just beat the hell out of it.
and I know that it will be at some point when when Wolf Blitzer, it's got to be Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
And we are hearing that. Wait, this just breaking. Anna Nicole Smith's tip of her nose has fallen off. And then it just, you know, and the chamber into the with the slide and rack and just bang, you know, and it's over.
And does anyone in the entire planet give a damn about Britney's hair? Honest to God, she's a worn-out skag before she cut her hair.
But we're talking about her.
Yeah.
You know what really surprised me, though, is the receding hairline. Did you see the receding hairline? It really comes, and that shaved head was not blonde. Did you see those roots?
Yeah. The poor dear. She had a moment. The salon. Well, I wonder what kind of drug she was on.
How would anybody know?
And really, who cares?
You know, I remember the old Reagan era "Just Say No to Marijuana" commercials, where, you know, pot hurts. It makes you forget things. It makes you stupid. If you install a permanent hookah line up Britney Spears' nose, how would you know it was making her stupid?
Yeah. Oh, boy, yeah, that's one piece of litmus paper that won't change color. That's for damn sure. It's also a gene pool I wouldn't want to take a dive in. Lord have mercy.
Ain't much water in the shallow end of the Spears gene pool.
Really?
You know, Those poor children.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I say we get an intervention going quick.
Yeah.
Take them away from Britney. Take them away from FedEx or KFed or whatever the hell we call him.
Really? Well, again, Bob.
And you know, place them with a childless scientist couple or something.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Somebody with some real credentials, right? Yeah, that's another thing. They'll be hiring writers at the institute to write, you know, counter-science, you know, and that's another thing. Anything that fully researched scientist that you really can't argue with the research, that's what, if it contradicts a government policy or you know, the clean air or whatever, it's called junk science. You know, that's the way it's all presented. It's called junk science. And by whose standard?
Right.
Right.
And well, in this story, you know, the guy says, even the scientists can't agree about global warming.
That's BS.
Yeah, completely.
Every scientist with any shred of credibility, with any...
And that was true way back in the days when they were saying cigarettes cause cancer, and, you know, we're not as well connected.
Junk science.
Right. It was junk, right. And the legitimate scientists from the very beginning knew it. But there were the funded scientists by the tobacco companies to write papers that would... And guess which ones got the airtime? The ones who were, you know, saying it was junk science, because their corporations, like the tobacco industry, was fully wired into the media. So sure, that news got out. It was all...
And you got Ronald Reagan making ads. What is it? Chesterfield tastes good like a cigarette should.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. And where was the outrage when Nancy Reagan was doing astrology? You know, if you're going to get fundamentalist and biblical, you know, you're warned against that, not to follow astrologers or numerology and all of this.
Oh, yeah.
I forget some. Where was the outrage? I don't understand these people. Just maybe the outrage was there, but just not covered. I don't know what.
No, it wasn't there. Of course, the Reagans didn't give a whit about Christianity, and they didn't give a whit about God or any kind of spirituality. But as usual, they did a fine job of paying lip service to it.
Oh yeah.
My God, can you imagine? Can you imagine, Peter? Fox News would be at such a fever pitch, it would be only dogs could hear it if they found out, say, I don't know, that Hillary had an astrologer.
Oh boy, wouldn't that be incredible? Yes, Lord.
I mean, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were seen playing with the Ouija board.
Yeah,
Satanists.
There was news today about the Muslims going back, like, you know, thousands of years. I couldn't tell you the details, but it had to do with, like, the mosaics and the incredible mass that was involved in doing that. Their mathematicians are just now figuring out how they did it and how it, you know, spirals to infinity and all this sort of thing. And,
right.
You know, and these are supposed to be stupid, you know, desert people. You know, we don't respect anybody. No wonder the planet's ready to throw us off the globe. You know, blow us off. You know, hell, I'd want to get rid of us too if I wasn't an American. I mean, honestly, we're just a bunch of pigs. At least the ones in control are. And the ones that are trying to take control are afraid to do anything because of the media. Oh, Bob, make it stop. Hard to take.
I wish we could. But again, that's our job. If we want it stopped, we got to stop it. You know, what constitutes that? Is it refusing to participate in this crap? Or do we do enough when we point out its existence and how absolutely nonsensical it is?
Yeah.
Or, you know, somewhere down the road, is it worth somebody out there running for county commission or city council or, you know, just trying and at least bringing the issues up?
Yeah.
Because the media won't bring the issues up.
That's true. Well, thank God for you and the Horn Network for connecting us. In a way that we weren't connected before. You know, blogs are blogs, and they're great, and the Truth Out and the Op-Ed News and all the ones I didn't mention, the unreported news, there's a million of them. But, you know, you do it in a very special way, and thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, Peter. It's the absolutely most joyful undertaking that I... And it's the hardest work I've ever been involved in. I mean, it's not like carrying, you know, bundles of shingles up a ladder in 100-degree heat or anything.
Yeah, but it's like the head-on radio psychiatric center. You know, you have to do that too. You know, we're all done. Every one of the people that call you are absolutely certifiable, including myself.
And proud of it.
And very proud of it. And we cannot be herded. We hear the voices.
Well, it's like that wonderful T-shirt that Agnes has that, you know, says sometimes it's just not worth chewing through the straps every morning.
Right, you might as well just sit there in the ant bed. Just too tired to move.
Yeah, put a little Thorazine on the oatmeal and bring it in.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess I'll get over this. No, I'll never get over the bush.
No, you won't.
No.
Don't. And that's the thing. We can't kid ourselves. We're not going to get over this. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get better. These people are in a mode of full on war against normalcy.
Well, that's it.
And I realize there are people out there, Peter, who listen to this program and say, yeah, I wish he'd talk about how they blew up the trade centers more. Gee, I wish he'd talk about, you know, the war in Iraq, or, you know, he needs to talk about labor issues more. But the thing is, everything is part of it.
Well, this is all true.
It's this stupid library. Sure it is. It's a lawyer in Texas who says that global warming is an issue for presidents, kings, and world leaders.
Well, yeah.
It's all part of it.
Yeah, the library will go on for 100 years reinforcing everything that's wrong. You know, if we're going to kill it and stamp it out and get rid of the virus, so to speak, you know, I guess there's going to have to be a library, but it damn sure doesn't have to be affiliated with the church. That's amazing.
Well, like I said, it needs to be built on top of an old hog slaughter
yeah.
operation, Peter.
Yeah, some guy named Guido.
Because, you know, that would just tickle their Saudi backers to death.
Tickle who?
The Saudi backers. I mean, you know it's the Saudi and UAE business partners that have contributed most of the front money for this thing.
Yeah, it'll be.
It's going to cost $500 million.
Yeah, and they're talking about they're going to raise it with contributions of $10 million apiece. And those are the smaller donations. They're.
Well, they've already got a bunch of it, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say that it's outdoing the, what was it, the Pioneer program, or your pioneers if you gave away your money to those bastards. Remember
yeah.
that? Well, this is far outstrips anything the pioneers ever did. This is huge. It's like the castle at the Magic Kingdom. It's major, and the biggest part of it is the think tank, which is not maintained, you know, not controlled by the university. It just stinks to high heaven.
And these are going to be guys and women who sit around in their think tank thinking about things like why it's bad to pay decent wages to working people.
Yeah, why that would be bad.
Why it's a good thing to invade countries that have never fired a shot at you. And they're going to package it all up, and they're going to call it democracy.
Right. And then why it's a bad thing for women to make their own decisions about childbirthing and on.
Yeah. Bless her heart, Agnes bought me a pair of steel-toed Converse high-top tennis shoes because she said she was tired of me hurting my toes kicking walls.
Good for Agnes.
You know, because these things, they do that to me. Just, you know, you see it come across, and you just, and you hit the... Because sometimes the frustration level just gets to where you can't bear it anymore.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
$500 million presidential library and Institute for Democracy right-wing religion industry-influenced think tank.
Right. Backed up by the Institute on Religion and Democracy. Yeah, it's everything you could possibly want, all rolled into one.
Oh, just shoot the thorazine dart right in the side of my neck.
I won't keep you on the phone.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate everything you've said, and you know, we laugh a little bit, but a lot of this is serious stuff, and I appreciate the way that you can sort of take this painfully serious stuff and at least allow us to smile while we contemplate what they're doing.
Well, you know, there's nothing that riles the old Peter up worse than the government taking over the church. That's at his hot button, boy. You don't like that.
Yeah. Peter, you have a good weekend.
You too. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, bye. Okay, we'll be back after the top of the hour. You want to get involved, jump right in. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Oh, Lord. You got to laugh a little bit, or it's just 3 hours of solid weeping. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Chances before, but I ain't gonna give any more. Don't ask. This is the Quality News Network. Whew, good news out of Parrish, Florida this afternoon in a farm field about 20 miles from the school bus stop where he was abducted. 13-year-old Clay Moore freed himself from his kidnapper's restraints, used a farm worker's cell phone, and called his mom. At this point, the kidnapper remains at large. Britain has decided to send up to 1,000 more troops to Afghanistan. With a renewed spring offensive expected from the Taliban, more troops are vital in the region. The confirmation comes 2 days after Prime Minister Blair said Britain is pulling back 1,600 troops from Iraq. A suspected al-Qaeda-linked insurgent leader was captured in southern Iraq today. The 22-year-old Sunni was on the Interior Ministry's most wanted list and was accused of being a major figure in recruiting fighters. The United Nations Atomic Energy Chief said today that North Korea has invited him to visit for talks on Pyongyang's nuclear program. His trip follows a six-party agreement struck in Beijing this month, whereby the communist state would shut its nuclear facilities in exchange for energy aid. Iranian President Ahmadinejad said today that Iran should stand up to the world and pursue its nuclear program. UN officials will meet in London next week to discuss possible further sanctions. Vice President Dick Cheney rebuked China for its recent military buildup and their anti-satellite weapons test. He pointed out that China's militaristic actions are in direct contrast to Beijing's public declarations of peace. Today, Pakistan successfully test-fired a ballistic missile designed to carry a nuclear warhead more than 1,200 miles. In Sri Lanka, Tamil Tiger rebels say the 5-year ceasefire with government forces has disintegrated. Escalating violence has included killings, kidnappings of children, and institutionalized torture. Colombia's former head of intelligence has been charged with murder and assisting the country's right-wing militia death squads. Colombia's foreign minister has resigned in the widening probe. South Korean businessman Tong Sun Park has been sentenced to 5 years in a federal prison for taking at least $2 million from the Saddam Hussein regime in the corruption-ridden UN Oil for Food program. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and science are next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
Indonesia has started dropping huge balls of concrete into its so-called mud volcano. They're trying to clog it up and stem the flow of the tons of hot mud gushing down its slopes every day. Mud has been erupting from the mountain for 9 months, burying whole villages and displacing thousands of people. There's been a major breakthrough in the battle against AIDS. British scientists say that studies prove circumcision reduces a man's chance of contracting HIV by 60%. Luxury home builder Toll Brothers says its quarterly profits tumbled 67%. They're blaming the soft housing market and other factors. The slumping housing market is also to blame for the dip in sales at Lowe's. The home improvement retailer's profit fell 11.5% in the fourth quarter. However, that beat analysts' expectations, and investors sent shares of the nation's second-largest home improvement chain higher, betting on the belief that the worst is over. An alliance between the Tokyo and London stock exchanges announced today is the latest maneuver in a global battle to create a fully integrated 24-hour world equities market. The ultimate target of the industry is one of an international, globalized, round-the-clock exchange. Light sweet crude wrapped up the day 19 cents a barrel higher to close at $61.14 a barrel. Gold was up $3.70, closing at $686.70 an ounce. And the NASDAQ was down 9.75, S&P 500 down 5. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, rolling on. Teresa is calling in from Canada. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the program.
I'm not Teresa.
No, you're not. Hey, how are you, David?
Well, do you want to ditch me? Should I bang my head against the curb and give way to Teresa?
Nah, we'll go from here. That's fine.
Well, I tell you what, I'll make sure I keep it short. I've got one tiny little correction and then an addition to an earlier point. Bob, I'm really sorry, but I want to offer an addendum to that bit about poor Ms. Smith. Bob, is based on all the surgical experiences that woman had, it ain't going to be the tip of her nose that's going to fall off. There's going to be a much weightier matter that's going to fall first.
Oh, can it get any worse?
Yeah, all right, now, we'll get away from that. Let's talk about that evil peanut butter. Bob, that's a labor issue. And since your show is very, very much engaged in such things, now give me a minute. Let me help you with this.
Okay, okay.
ConAgra's involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to the grocery store and buy any ConAgra peanut butter? No, you didn't. That means they are a contract packager or a contract manufacturer. They make a product, put another label on it, and sell it under the other label for a commercial entity that wants to sell said product, not make said product. Along with every chicken processor in America, and a
parts
bunch of
parts.
Other people. I'm sorry?
I said parts is parts.
Oh, yeah. Well, agriculture especially is intensely proud on their side of the fence, the Republican side of the fence, the neocon side of the fence, of busting unions. And two of the things that the management side hates about unions love things that create safe environments in general and clean environments in food processing. That costs a lot of money to be safe and especially clean in food processing. And in food processing, no matter what it is, it's intensely hard work under really difficult work circumstances. So, if it were treated fairly in terms of what you pay those folks, it would cost a lot of money. Therefore, the ConAgras of this world, the Tyson Foods of this world, the Archer Daniel Midlands of this world, they love to bust unions so that they don't have to care about safety and they don't have to care about cleanliness. So on a given day, you've got a ton of peanuts that were roasted sometime in the past, and you got an overworked individual, man or woman, operating the grinder that gets yelled at if the grinder doesn't run fast enough, and he or she goes to the toilet. And because there's a supervisor screaming at them, they don't wash their hands at the grinder. A ton of peanuts. There's 1 gram of fecal matter on one of those hands of that worker that's been badgered to get their butt back to work. And because that peanut butter, once put in that jar after grinding, does not experience any pasteurization, it only takes a half a dozen, 3 dozen, 15, 40 E. coli organisms in a friendly environment like peanut butter. It's not acid, it's not base. It's not hot, it's not salt, necessarily too salty, and it can grow and it can prosper. And you eat the peanut butter, and life as you know it ends.
And it's not going to, I mean, when you open the poison peanut butter, David, it's not like it's going to stink.
It's not like it's going to, it's not like opening overdue kimchi where it climbs out of a jar. No, you don't know it. Oh, guess what? It's from stinking Walmart. Gee, you suppose they badger their suppliers to the lowest price possible? Oh, I think so. All right, I win the toaster. I close the loop.
There's something else. You know, this is Walmart peanut butter.
Oh yeah.
And as such, it's worth remembering that whenever a manufacturer decides to do business with Walmart, Walmart will badger and harass and harangue that producer. For instance, if it's a union shop, I mean, this stuff is documented, David. Walmart will harangue that manufacturer out of its profits and literally tell them, if you want to sell in Walmart, you got to bust that union.
Because your price point is way too high. Your price point does not let Walmart do what Walmart does best, with the inference that it's that hideous smiley face dropping prices for you and me. Well, no, the prices aren't nowadays that much different than other places, but the profits certainly are for Walmart. So that's how you end up with life-threatening peanut butter. You can cheapen anything to the point that it can become life-threatening. And when Walmart...
You know, just that phrase, life-threatening peanut butter, does that just make you want to run around the room screaming, David?
Of course it does. Of course it does.
This country, under conservative rule, under Republican rule, under the rule of the religious fundamentalists, has become so utterly screwed up that we can't even do peanut butter right.
Hey, when America can't trust peanut butter, the is in the fan big time.
What do you want to bet the advertising gurus who do Jif? Here in the next couple of weeks, are going to ramp up a brand new Choosy Mothers Choose Jif line of TV commercials.
Well, it's that's their line from 25 years ago, and it's just like Chick-fil-A had to keep saying, you know, when there was a problem with beef, eat more chicken, and they said, look, we were saying this before all those mad cows started causing people to go crazy and run in circles and jump out of windows, so don't blame us. We're just running ads, okay?
Jeez. Oh, well, God. We've screwed up the peanut butter. We have screwed up the peanut butter.
No. The neocons have screwed up the peanut butter. They've ruined two countries, headed for a third and a fourth and a fifth. Afghanistan and Iraq aren't enough. They've got to have Iran next, followed by, North Korea, and Cheney's dropping the gauntlet to go pick on mainland China. Now that's one I'd really like to see that five deferment dick take on. Well, anyway, time for Teresa.
All right. Take care, David. Have a good weekend.
Hi, Shell, Bob. Same to you. Thanks for the chance to rant.
Oh, ever a pleasure.
See ya.
Bye now. And now we've got Teresa back. I think we've got things squared away. Hey, Teresa, thanks for getting back with the program.
Oh, no problem. I was glad to listen to David's call. I mean, this wasn't why I was calling, but I can't let the peanut butter panic thing pass without comment. I don't know if you heard about the big mushroom scare that was going on.
Well, yeah, I heard that yesterday, Teresa. Now it's mushrooms.
And the headline on CNN, I'm not lying, mushroom cloud.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Mushroom cloud.
It's like they're using the fear factor on the food and everything now, and, you know.
Well, and see, that's got to be in the back of people's minds, Teresa, because, did somebody dump the, you know, was it a crazed Arab terrorist who dumped salmonella in the peanut butter at ConAgra?
What it obviously is like the Bush administration, you know, cutting back all funds for inspectors or everything. So they're obviously, like, produce or anything, they're watering it with God knows what, some foul stream.
Well, you know, what was it? It was less than a year ago that we had poop in the spinach, wasn't it?
I know.
We just say that, and it just kind of goes by, Teresa. You know, but there was poop in the spinach.
Yeah. I mean, you know there's poop in mushrooms because they grow it in that.
Right. Well, you know, one of my wife's favorite phrases is, I am a mushroom, because everybody keeps me in the dark and feeds me nothing but...
Feeds you, you know what?
Yeah.
But, that was amazing. The way it was called, I'm still furious about the lack of coverage on CNN about the Walter Reed story. Like, I just can't get past it. Like, I watch every hour, and it'll be, you know, like a 2-minute clip or something, you know, like well into the show. And all their covering of it is, like, the moldy, which is bad enough, like the actual buildings and that. But they aren't even interviewing veterans or anything, or trying to get, like, at the real story about the...
Well, that would require actually doing journalism, Teresa. That's not CNN's strong suit.
Yeah. And they actually have one of their senior correspondents they used to respect, they're not anymore, that Susan Candiotti, permanently installed in front of the Anna Nicole Smith courtroom. And she's been there all week. And you can't... They can't put someone full-time on the Walter Reed story. It's just outrageous. Like, it bothers me so much, too, like, especially with the head injury.
And all this, you know, all this ties together, Teresa. The building scandal at Walter Reed is an outward physical manifestation of all the internal stuff that has gone wrong at the VA. I remember Mike Malloy talking about the cancellation of the traumatic brain injury program in the CDC. What, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
That's what really bothers me. My husband had a brain injury about 15 years ago. It was work-related. And he's doing okay now, but he's on a lot of medication for seizures and everything. And it's paid for by the company and everything because it was work-related. But I don't even know how much they cost a month, but it's got to be thousands. And some of these guys, like, they're going to have to actually pay for their own medication. Like, if it's $1,000 a month for my husband in Canadian prices, what's it down there? Probably $3,000.
Oh.
Which is another thing. Like, why are we buying the same drugs cheaper than... You
know? Well, because you have a government.
I don't know. It's heartbreaking. I guess thinking of senior citizens often, but get together on buses and, you know, get up in there on their walkers and not and drive to Canada and smuggle prescription drugs back. I don't know.
Well, yeah, again, it sounds so banal. All these horrors, all these indignities, we just say them and they're so banal. But what you just said, you know, seniors getting on buses.
Yeah.
Touring to Canada, not to see all the beauty that Canada has to offer, not to experience the glories of French Canadian culture in Montreal.
No, they're just coming directly across the border to Niagara Falls, go to a doctor and then go right back.
Yeah, like, so they can get their Plavix and their Lasix and their antibiotics and their heart medicines and
yeah. Ugh, it's just sickening. What did like the Walter Reed thing? Did you see? I'm no fan. I'm not a Don Imus fan. Don't get me wrong, but I was this morning when I heard his radio show. Actually, it was on YouTube or whatever, and he was referring to this the Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley of Walter Reed, and. It was someone else who was doing the interview. Imus was just commenting on it. He actually blamed the troops for the mice and the cockroaches. He said there was only 7 rooms that needed, like, immediate attention, you know, whatever that is. And then he said that's the mice and the cockroaches. They've investigated it. And it was caused by the soldiers leaving food and that around in their apartment. I mean, give me a break.
Yep.
They're coming in from the holes left by the mold and the...
This is... What a beautiful example of right-wing conservative thinking. One, blame the troops, and two, say that mice are spawned by rotting food. You know, I thought that, you know, I mean, in the 12th century, you had people saying that maggots, you know, grew spontaneously in rotting flesh. But then again, what do you want from a bunch of people that hate science?
And if there was food left around, like they're patients, they should be in hospitals. They're in this. I mean, what is this building anyway? That's across the street from Walter Reed. Like, was there some previously condemned?
Well, I do know that Defense Secretary Robert Gates came out today and said, "Gosh, it's a darn shame."
Oh, okay. Well, I feel better now. I'm sure he'll.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, put the fox in charge of the hen house. It just kills me that they aren't talking about it, and also the fact that it's not news. Like, I remember back, I think it was in 2003. I heard about this, and actually there was on one of the blogs they had heard about it too. Not so much about the poor treatment of. Like the actual runaround that the patients were getting, aside from the mold.
Well, right, you know, and that's the thing, Teresa. Elements of this.
I'm sure it wasn't CNN. But,
no, but elements of this, we've seen this kind of stuff coming, and here's the saddest and most horrifying and tragic part of it. This isn't the end of it, Teresa.
Oh no.
We are headed for a full on VA collapse.
Mm-hmm. I heard someone else like posit an idea, which I'm sure is true, is that, well, actually Bush didn't he ask for less money for wounded troops so that they can continue the lie about how many wounded troops there actually are. I don't believe the
VA budget gets cut, Teresa, by $3.4 billion in the latest budget that Bush has issued.
Mm-hmm. But I don't even believe their numbers on the number of dead, because I heard that if they make it back stateside or to Landstuhl in Germany and die there, they don't count them.
Right, they did. You're absolutely right.
That's wrong. Like, that's so wrong. Hide that from the people. It's painful.
Look at the stuff the American people have tolerated, Teresa. There, you know, this regulation against showing coffins being offloaded at Dover, and we tolerate it. You know, we've just sat there and said, "Well, okay, they said we can't. That's all right."
Yeah. Like I said to my husband, okay, if they won't let them do that, like the four that I know of, when I was looking at CNN earlier, four soldiers died in Iraq today, and they're relegated, just the scrawl at the bottom. Meanwhile, I'm looking at that, did you see the crying judge at the Anna Nicole thing?
Well, like I was talking with Peter about, you know, shooting the television, that was one of those moments.
Yeah. I'm watching that, and it's just coming across the scroll at the bottom. And I said to my husband, like, all it would take for them would just, like, take one intern or something and put that person full-time on. Like, don't just report the number of dead. When you get the actual names of those people, report it. Like, say the word so that the Americans can hear, like, oh, geez, I'm hearing a lot about, you know, how many dead there are. Like... These poor troops.
Well, we're not going to know, Teresa. We are simply not going to know what the ultimate just U.S. cost is for this war. We're not allowed to know in dollar figures. I got an email earlier today. We talk about you remember the missing $9 billion that just got lost in Paul Bremer's sofa at the Coalition Provisional Authority?
Yeah, they're going off to like a pickup truck or something.
Well, they called them foot, they were shrink wrapped, and they called them footballs, and they threw them around on the tarmac at Baghdad International. Well, I got an email today explaining to me what that physically means. $9 billion. It was cash. $9 billion in $100 bills, and I had never seen this before. And it just, again, it's one of those that makes my eyeballs roll back in their head, and they just feel dizzy. $9 billion in $100 bills, Teresa.
That's a truckload.
It weighs 260 tons.
260.
That is. It would take more than 12 53-foot trailers of pallets to transport that much cash.
That's visible. 50 tons that most transport trucks can carry or whatever.
Yeah, so 12 plus 53-foot trailers of pallets. That's the money that Paul Bremer said, yeah, it just got away from me. And the American people say, well, okay, you know.
It's cash.
Yeah, it's cash, you know, and we treat it like it's the quarters that fall out of our pockets.
It's just
260 tons of money,
and like how much of that money? Like I know we, like different countries contributed a lot, like countries that didn't go into the war, like us or like Canada, for example. We gave like quite a bit, I guess, trying to defray the anger from the U.S. at us for not.
It just makes you feel like it makes you feel like you're coming
money
apart.
In there too, like, was that part of that? You know, it's like the Bush and Cheney and the people who are allowing them to get away with it, which are both parties. It's not just about the U.S. anymore. You know that they're talking about Iran and then Cheney's threatening China.
Oh, you think you're Mr. Smart? Well, you just met Mr. Smarter.
God.
I know. Teresa, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, you too. Nice talking.
All right.
To you. Okay.
Good talking to you. Bye now.
Bye bye.
I've got it. We're going to keep going with the phone calls, but a little bit of information. By the way, Building 18 at Walter Reed, that horror, is in a building. It was built during the late 1920s, and the building itself is 5 miles from the Walter Reed Army Medical Center main campus. That's what we're talking about. And an inquiry, and I think it is relevant to the discussion that we're having, has come in from our good friend Billy Shears with regard to the 2008 presidential election. And this sort of let this one roll around in your noggin for a little bit, because it's kind of here it is. The next presidential election, Billy Shears writes, will really concerns me, and here's why. If the two leading front runners remain McCain and Giuliani for the Republicans, I'm afraid that the average voter out there will only remember that McCain is the straight talk express guy and Rudy as that confident, strong 9/11 leader. He says, now you and I and listeners to The Horn, along with Nova M and Air America, obviously know better. We're informed by staying involved daily. Now here's the second part that concerns me. If Hillary Clinton and Obama stay on top to the end, there isn't a right-winger or Christo-fascist alive who would risk that happening. Now here's the even scarier part, Billy Shears says. There is still a huge number of Americans who will never accept a woman or an African American as the President of the United States, hence holding their noses and voting GOP. Please, he says, convince me I'm off on this. I want so much to be wrong. And this, I can't convince you that you're wrong. I'm not going to try to convince you that you're wrong. That is, there are a lot of ideological purists out there who dislike Hillary Clinton for a variety of reasons, not least of which is her stance and her vote supporting George Bush's war on the people of Iraq. Long before that ever became really rose to the top of the issues list, however, I had said, and I still say, and will continue to say, that there is an entire industry of people out there on the right whose only job in life is to attack Hillary Clinton for being Hillary Clinton. Over at BartCop.com, BartCop says, you know, why should she apologize for her vote in support of the Iraq War? What would an apology, what good would an apology do? And there's truth in his position. The people who hate Hillary Clinton are going to continue to hate Hillary Clinton. And if it's not over Iraq, it'll be over something else. And by the way, you know, hating Hillary is something that happens on both sides of the political fence. But the right-wingers have a full-blown industry devoted to it. Barack Obama is going to... can you imagine a scenario in 2008 where Barack Obama wins the Electoral College votes of Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina? You know, I don't, there is not a less racist person in this country than me, I don't think. I fight against, you know, I grew up among it. It sickens me. But somebody needs to explain to Senator Obama's campaign that he is not going to carry not one southern state. It's exactly as Billy Shears puts it forward. It will be conservative right-wing nose-holding. They will hold their noses and vote for Giuliani. They'll hold their noses and vote for McCain. They'll hold their noses and vote for Romney. But they will not ever, ever, ever vote for Barack Obama because of the color of his skin. And that just makes me sick to my bones. And the same thing largely applies to Mrs. Clinton. The flyover states, the redneck states, the southern states, whatever you want to call them. You know, these are people who go to church and listen to that Bible verse where it says, "Women, be quiet in church." Well, God said it, that settles it, I believe it. And we're talking about a permanent election condition in this country in which, oh, what? We're so polarized that everything is 48% to 52%, and the thing that turns elections, so we are told, is a handful of so-called values voters. They will vote for Mitt Romney before they would vote for Barack Obama or Mrs. Clinton. So no. We will not have the presidency if the nominee is either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. And the only strategy that either one of these people can engage in on a national basis in a general presidential election is the same damned mistaken strategy that was engaged in by John Kerry. And that is to write off an entire region of the United States. To say that an entire region of the United States is not entitled to be campaigned to. And I don't believe in that kind of political machination, because ultimately you wind up with either Florida or Ohio or whatever winds up being the so-called key battleground state in 2008, and as long as it's one state, baby, it's easier to steal that way. And the machines will not be gone in 2008. Because we still got people, even on our side of the debate, out there saying, well, you know, if we can just get a paper trail. No! The only paper that needs to be in a polling place is the ballot. And you mark on it in pencil or pen, and you put it in a box, and you walk away. As long as the machines are in place, skullduggery will be in play. And as long as you've got Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton as the nominee having to engage in a political strategy that says that 50 states are not, that it's not going to be a 50-state election, that it's going to be an election in which the Democrats hope to carry California, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Florida, Maryland, then it's going to be ripe for failure. So no, Billy Shears, I'm sorry. I can't tell you that you're wrong. And it grieves me. It grieves me to say that I can't. Let's go to the phones. Preston is calling in from Denver, Colorado. Preston.
Hey, Bob.
Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Enjoying the discussion as always, and enjoyed a lovely day here in Denver.
Nice out there today.
Yeah, and I just got back from the post office. That's a great unionized job there, I guess. Although I guess that union's under assault too. But as you were talking about the election and the potential barrier because of Obama's skin color, as you were saying that, I thought that it would be interesting to see if, you know, that 50% of the potential electorate, if they got engaged, and they could probably tip the scales beyond the racial bigots, and also especially African-American and Mexican-American voters. And it's a real sin to see those voters, those citizens of this country, losing their right to vote because of things like, growing marijuana and cocaine dealing and other black market jobs they go to in this economy that's not working for them. And it's a sin also that the Democrats, you know, the Republicans, they just want more punitive punishment, longer punishment. But the Democrats...
A bigger prison system, sure.
That Lehman Brothers, this big financial institute, they've floated all these bonds. So they've got a multi-million dollar investment in this prison industrial complex. And the Republicans are right there. They're spokespeople, basically. They're lobbyists. But the Democrats also, I think, have been kind of quiet on the issue at times. And when you consider what a loyal constituency they are, African Americans voting about 90% Democratic, Mexican Americans, I'm not sure, but I know it's a plurality. Even the Democratic administrations have continued with these bogus wars on non-corporate drugs. You know, of course, as they sell their corporate drugs hand over fist, market
sure.
it. What?
No, I said absolutely, and I love the way you delineate it. Corporate drugs, that's perfect.
Yep. I mean, so much of the economy is basically a matter of claiming patents on certain objects of life, or maybe genetically modifying them to claim patents on even the natural world. You know, they want to own the fish and the sea and the rivers and, you know, own the coal, the mountains, everything. It's amazing. Own the water. You know, the entire commons they are trying to privatize, even down to the water system. But I must say, I was so happy to see this week a country, Australia, strike a blow against King Coal. They've decided to
phase out incandescent lights, and they're switching totally to compact fluorescent lights by 2012. And, you know, it's not going to save the world, but it will save millions of pounds of greenhouse gases. It will save a lot of energy, thereby reducing the need to burn coal for energy.
Sure.
And, you know, corporate executives at the coal companies, they see this stuff, and it's a couple losses of percentage points of revenue, and that's heresy, you know.
Well, exactly, and I've mentioned it before on this program, Preston, but we're living that up in West Virginia because coal is doing everything it can to stop a huge windmill project.
Yeah, typical. It's a real shame. But again, there are alternatives on the shelf, and that some people are starting to take off the shelves. And so we'll see. Even Republican mayors in like Houston and Dallas have been involved in these protests against coal companies trying to open more coal plants west of their towns, and they don't want more of the pollution and the mercury coming down from the sky on them and poisoning the fish there, to the point where there are these advisories against eating the fish in like 30-40% of our lakes. And again, it's total madness on a personal, human, environmental health level. But on the level of a corporate executive, it makes sense. It's like what Milton Friedman always says, there should be no free lunch. And if you poison the fish and people can't get to them anymore, he's right, there won't be. And they can carry out what they call creative destruction. Schumpeter or somebody, the big thinkers, the big economists that we have here, they like talking about that kind of thing. And it's corporate fundamentalism. That's the major move.
Oh, that's
going
very
on.
Good. Yeah, that's beautiful. Corporate fundamentalism. And again, and that fits so nicely, Preston, because it is fundamentalism of a sort.
Yeah.
Ignore science, ignore facts, ignore data, and just say whatever it is that fits with your designs for maximizing profits.
Yeah.
And to hell with the next generation or the generation after that.
Yeah. Very dogmatic. Damn the non-believers to hell. Plan for world domination. Something that.
Well, you know, I get this right wing email, and I had an essay. There was an essay sent to me earlier today it was the American Enterprise Institute, I think it was.
Okay.
A guy railing against Al Gore possibly getting an Oscar for an inconvenient truth. He said, "It's not a documentary, it's a scare-umentary." They're just trying to scare people into believing the oceans are going to rise. That's impossible. The oceans could never rise 20 feet in two generations' time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And there's, you know, we don't have to speculate about so much. There's so much going on right now. You know, the Pacific Islands being inundated. You know, the right wing was saying, hey, we hardly had any hurricanes this year. Now be quiet. Now what they don't say is that there was a record number of typhoons. You know, it's not just about what happens to us. This is a global issue.
Right, and it's this planet is, and this universe, for all that we're able to tell, has a cyclical quality to it.
Yeah.
And they, things do run in cycles. And they'll say, no, well, you know, there weren't many hurricanes, but you're right, they don't mention the number of typhoons on the other side of the planet where maybe the system cycled through to.
Right. Right. And again, they're always talking about being prudent. Well, you know, and we don't know if we're going to be hit by, you know, blowback again. It's a possibility, and there are things we should do to take some precautions. And likewise, in so many environmental issues. Actually, a reason I called in initially was because something regarding the oil industry. During your break, and I really enjoy the news you provide during the breaks, but there was something said, I called it a comment about, well, the phrase was the corrupt oil for food program. Now, I don't doubt that there's some truth to that, that there's some corruption, but I remember how the right wing went after this story, and they went after Kofi Annan's son, Cujo.
Right.
And they were pretty easy targets for the right. You know, what do we know about what's going on at the United Nations? Our news media doesn't feel any need to cover it very often, while our representatives are there constantly vetoing all sorts of useful resolutions and plans of action. But there are these other truths about the oil for food program, and some of the investigations of the investigation showed that it was, in many cases, much ado about nothing. And in fact, there were world bodies who were so impressed with what the Iraqi people were able to do during that period that they were getting awards. I mean, the other truths to that oil issue, the sanctions, you know, the larger truths that they divert our attention from is that we killed hundreds of thousands of people. In addition to, you know, blocking their ability to provide clean water.
And if you look at the definitions of what constitutes a war crime, attacking civilian infrastructure like power, water, sewage, is defined as a war crime. And frankly, we did that in the war on Yugoslavia.
We did that
to the Serbs. And we did it again in Iraq. The first thing we go after is their civilian infrastructure.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's on the list for Iran too, Preston. Because it's abundantly clear we're not just going after their nuclear facilities. We're going to go after their entire infrastructure.
Yep.
And so that's going to mean people dying for the want of something as relatively simple in this industrialized, so-called civilized age as clean water.
Yep. It's such a sin. And they're always claiming about how pro-life they are.
Yeah. That's kind of where the show got started tonight. Not pro-life at all. Preston, I wish you a very good weekend. Good to hear from you.
And likewise, Bob.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And our good friend Luke calling in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Just a wonderful way to end the weekend and start the nightmare that may be our weekend. You saw the news that he's back from the undead. Chalabi has returned.
I saw a brief. What's he doing? I saw the mention that he's, you know. Has he been rehabilitated or what?
Well, he's now got a job as some kind of liaison between the Iraqi government and the U.S. And he's already saying how he's going to expand it to a much bigger job. It's like, say, can't we just drive a stake through his heart and be done with him? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of those characters just will not go away. But,
and, you know, are we going to pay him $300,000 a month again?
Oh, God. I should make him pay $300,000 a month.
Well, I'd like to get the money back, but
but
we can't even find the $9 billion that came in on 12 plus tractor trailers.
You know, it's like saying, you know, people thought Brownie was bad. I mean, Bremer actually had it to a bigger level. We just didn't see it up close. But you were talking about the thing with Walter Reed. Like, I still have my question for Robert Gates. Which wall do you have Jim Nicholson's butt nailed to? I'd like to see it. You know?
Oh yeah, well, he's got the tennis ball and the duct tape in his mouth, Nicholson. No, you're not going to get out and talk now.
You had your chance. It's over. But you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, they'll drag it on. But this is one of those things that if this had happened in the Clinton administration, dear God, you couldn't shut the people on TV up about it. You know what I mean? They'd be saying, oh, he disrespected the troops. And we'd be hearing it 24-7. But now, now they have to just about rip it out of people to get them to talk about the Bush administration's responsibility. You know, they're still talking about what's going on over there, but they're not talking like, well, it's anybody's fault. Well, it just happened. Well, yeah, isn't it amazing?
That's the way these things just happen. You know, it's little miracles, little curses. You know, there's no cause and effect. We're talking these people really are straight out of the 12th century.
Well, I mean, wait till you were talking about earlier. It was said, wait till this weekend. If on Sunday night Al Gore wins the documentary thing, which I think he will, I'd say Monday we'll start getting stories. Won't even look like, you know, you're sitting there going, you know, here we are back in Bizarro World again. You know, how many stories can we make up just for the fun of it? I was sitting today and reading, I think, that thing you're talking about. So I tell you what, anybody who ever wants to think that the press is honest or makes sense or anything, I think the best site to go to, even better than Media Matters, I mean, well, they're okay on for a constant, but if you ever want to go back and look at the history of it, go over to Daily Howler and just go through their archives. And I tell you what, Bob Summersby keeps an eye on that, and he puts those things out. And a lot of these people seem to forget what they've, you know, what other these jackals have said. And you go back, and it's like, say, they were talking, he's been writing the last couple of days, you know, about Gore, and he was talking about, look and see what they said, you know, in 02 when he gave his speech, and 04 when he gave speeches against the war. Just go back and look and see what some of the people in the news were saying. He's gone insane. You know, it's just amazing to go back, and, you know, and that's just like 2-3 years ago, and look and see what people said. Then, you know, they had one, Podoritz. Oh, God, he just went on and on. It's like, you'd really just like to see someplace where they got him sit down and go, here's what you said. Got anything to say now, John? And this thing with the wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Oh yeah. I'll be honest, you know what I mean? When I'm sitting listening to you all or doing it, I have to write down 4 or 5 topics just so I don't forget where I was going. Because I'll hear 5 more good ones.
Well, see, that's I start off the night with about 10 or 15 stories that I figure are worth hitting,
mm-hmm.
and usually get to 3 or 4.
You were talking earlier, though. How long? I'm just wondering if it'll be all the way into fall before we start to see the reptilicans start jumping ship, because this Iraq thing we know is not going to get considerably better. And there's a whole
But the other joker in the deck, Luke, is of course Joseph I. Lieberman.
Well, that's true. But I'm just saying, though, you're going to see a lot of reptilicans that are going to be looking out for their own butts, and they realize how unpopular this war is. And by the end of the year, how many of them are going to start jumping ship, going, "Yeah, we want out of this war. You know, we don't care. Get us out of this war because we don't want to run on this in 2008." Because that's all we're going to be able to talk about for the whole election cycle in 2008.
Well, for all intents and purposes, Joe Lieberman has threatened. I mean, yeah, he's threatened. He's threatened the Democratic Party that if we move to defund the war, that he will be a Republican and screw the Senate up.
And from what I understand, the people in Connecticut, some of them up there in the bloggers, are saying, "Can we recall a senator?"
And apparently, they can't.
Okay.
I don't think they've got recall, and you'd have to—I don't know—they'd have to be impeached or something. And I don't think even the people of Connecticut can do that. They're stuck with him. You know, I feel so bad for him.
Well, did you see the story? I've just seen it one or two places that hadn't shown up yet. Where apparently today, the stupid guy was out in there, and they had a bunch of electric cars up at the White House.
For heaven's sake!
Yeah, and they're sitting there going, "I'm sitting there going." Now, this is the same George Bush that in 2001 and 2002 did everything he could to kill the EV1. Because, hydrogen cars are going to be the thing. Even though people have said, oh, by the way, hydrogen cars will not be even barely sustainable for at least 20 years. You know, and it's like, hydrogen cars are real nice, but like I say, it's going to take 20 years. That's 20 years of building a whole infrastructure just to get the fuel out there. But But like I say, it was just amazing the hypocrisy, because if you ever get to see who killed the electric car,
and you
see what the Bush administration did to that. You know what I mean? That, they're the ones that changed the rules so that the California, the one out there that regulates the environmental standards, and they essentially passed a federal law so that they can essentially kill the law that the Californians had passed that made the EV zero fuel thing, like over out there, that they had their law that made them, you know, where they were supposed to have gone like 10% electric cars within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Bush and them passed rules so they killed that. You know, in all these different ways, you know, him and all of his friends in the oil companies have done everything they could to kill it. Now all of a sudden, it's looking good, because I don't know how it is up there, but down here, our gas prices have gone up for the last 2 months. It's our gas is now 20 cents higher than it was.
Oh yeah, it's climbing now. I was just talking to the home office the other night, and it's going up even as we speak.
Yeah.
Luke, I've got to run along. I want to try to get one more call wedged in. You have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye now. Okay, let's see if we can. Gene, are you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, great. Sorry for the short time.
Oh, that's okay, because this is really going to be a very short thing. Since you were talking, this is really the comment that I had yesterday. I couldn't tell you. Speaking about yesterday and the pasta comitatus and all the other stuff and all our rights that are getting slaughtered and everything else, I kind of disagree with you a little bit, because I don't think Bush and Cheney are going to step down.
That possibility exists. I'm enough of a Pollyanna, Gene, that I pray that at least that little bit of our political structure remains. But I am sure that there are scenarios that have been worked out inside the halls of the White House where they don't. I don't doubt it in the least.
I'll give you this: they might put a Republican on there as a window dresser, but I think the minute Bush and Cheney know, the minute they leave the government, they're going to be so sued. So I just can't see them stepping down, but that's just me.
I hope you're wrong, but there is a possibility that you're right.
I hope.
Gene, thanks so much.
Yeah, sure. Talk to you.
All right, have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that gives you nightmares, that wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the flop sweat cracking at your hairline. Cold sweat, the idea that Bush and Cheney would just decide to be maximum dictators for life. Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks so much for joining in. Have a wonderful weekend. My lovely, darling wife, Agnes, did a whale of a job, as usual, producing. John Fox is our engineer. Peter Godbold, our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org has a fundraiser going on. He makes all the streaming, the archiving, and the podcasting happen, and he can only do it with your help. Every show on the Horn happens because of the dedication of several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream, and by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Support for Iraq buildup up slightly. Edwards urges direct talks with Iran. Democrats vow to seek limits on Iraq war. Snow disputes claim that Iraq is a blunder. Bush vows cooperation on health care. Bush compares revolutionary and terror wars. Iran fires missiles in new round of war games. Al-Qaeda chiefs are seen to regain power. Rice expects to return to Middle East. U.S.-Iran attack plans revealed. McCain says Rumsfeld was one of the worst. John will say anything to get elected. McCain says Iraq war mismanaged for years. Come on, John, get those votes. McCain says Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Sounding kind of desperate, aren't you, John? McCain makes conflicting statements on abortion. Is John confused or just desperate to get his votes in for the nomination for the Republicans? Russian missile blackmail won't work, checks say. Clinton objects to Confederate flag. And some mole idea over of Senator Bill Clinton. Intriguing, Senator Bill Clinton. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.